This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06. This is the evening edition with Sharmila. What are you feeling right now? Because according to an article published in the New York Times, perhaps a word that they described might fit that feeling you're having, and that word is languishing. So the article talks about the fact that this word languishing captures a sense of stagnation, a sense of emptiness, and they describe it as a feeling of muddling through your days, looking through your life, looking at your life through a foggy windshield. I don't know about you guys, but when I read this word, I felt like I had somehow unearthed the word that I was looking for, because that sense of feeling of stagnating, of nothing happening, is certainly something that I can identify with. And I think I've been feeling it a lot more acutely this year compared to last year. And the article actually talks about why that might be, because they said that 2020 was largely defined by the newness of the pandemic and the fact that we were put into this sense of almost a fight or flight mode, right? We were on high alert. We were picking up new habits. We were learning new ways to deal with the pandemic. But now it's been a year and we've been doing that for quite a while. And the way that we're relating to all of this and the way that we feel has shifted. And that sense of languishing, that sense of no forward movement, that sense of stagnation has happened now because of all the things that we're seeing happening around us. The sense of, yes, there's a vaccine, but a lot of us might not be vaccinated yet. For me personally, a sense of not knowing quite how long we're going to be in the situation, and even after the vaccination and so on, what the future might be. I'm also contending with the fact that I'm seeing in places around the world, relatives or friends in other parts of the world either having gotten their vaccinations already or living in communities where they've gotten their numbers down really low. And that kind of puts me in this place of stagnating as well. So again, that sense of languishing. And the reason why it's important to identify this feeling, and the article touches on this as well, is that I think we're perhaps better to speak up or to nail down a feeling when it gets bad. So when you're talking about depression or when you're talking about actual functional problems on a day-to-day basis. But then when you fall into this in-between state, and they do describe this feeling as being between depression and flourishing, this gray area of languishing, I think, can be a feeling that's very difficult to describe and therefore very difficult to reach out to people and to even get over, because it might leave you feeling a lack of motivation. It might leave you feeling somehow not able to enjoy the things that are happening to you. But at the same time, it's not so bad that you're going to do something about it. So that's what we're going to be discussing for in this part of the show, this idea of languishing, and whether that might fit the feeling that many of us have this year. But on that note, we want to know, if you could pick one word to describe how you've been feeling lately, what would that word be? Tell us. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Chua Suk Ning, founder and clinical psychologist from Relate Malaysia. Keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is coming up to 5:12. This is the evening edition with Sharmila. We're talking about the word languish or languishing, and whether that might in fact be the perfect word to describe what a lot of us have been feeling lately, a sense of stagnation, a sense of not being able to move forward as we continue to deal with the pandemic. And we want to know, what one word would you use to describe how you've been feeling? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Dr. Chua Suk Ning, founder and clinical psychologist from Relate Malaysia. Suk Ning, thank you for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So what do you make of the focus of this article and this languishing state that it describes?
I think it's great. I mean, it's a great article to highlight that, you know, just because you're not clinically depressed, it doesn't mean you're in the best of state right now. And I think it probably resonates with a lot of people who, my word for languishing is that meh feeling, you know, like
yes,
when you
meh.
Ask people, how are you feeling? And people aren't saying, okay, they're kind of like, okay, la, you know, that blahness of what I think a lot of people feel life is right now.
So the main features of this feeling seems to be this emptiness or sense of stagnation. How can we identify that we might in fact be languishing?
Probably, you know, identifying feelings, I think it's often tricky because we don't have a lot of experience doing it. The best way to identify feelings is not to distract yourself, is to take a quiet moment, look within, and you probably will be able to detect it pretty quick that I just don't feel great.
The New York Times article that first brought up this word does make a distinction between how people felt last year and how they're feeling now. What do you think has changed for many people this year in terms of how they're feeling or how they're responding to the pandemic?
Right. Last year we had, it was very unknown. A lot of people were very anxious. It puts your physical state, your psychological state, your emotions on this high alert. You know, you're in your fight or flight response. Maybe some people still are, but probably more people were reading the news every day, keeping track of all the cases. And now there's that sense of fatigue, right? And it's almost, when is it going to end? But also not the uncertainty. So you're kind of in the middle ground, right? You've kind of gotten used to it, but you've gotten used to that feelings of uncertainty. So you're not settled, but you can't move on.
And that middle ground that you're talking about, and as you mentioned earlier, it is a little difficult to identify feelings or sort of nail in what you might be feeling. What about that middle ground? How do you even begin to understand that?
I tell people, you know, think about your best day, and if that's a 10, and then think of your worst day, and that's a 1, you know, where are you? If you put a number to it, and I know, you know, psychologists like to quantify things, but when you put a number to it, it's actually easier for you to go, oh, okay, I'm not actually feeling great. You know, I'm sort of feeling in the middle. And why is that important? Our feelings tell us what's going on inside. And even though you may not be in the power to change the national situation, you could have, and you probably do have, some control over your own personal situation. So if you're not feeling great, is an indication to you that your needs to help you thrive and enjoy life, they're not being met. And we have to be creative in looking for ways and how we can get really important needs to be met. Otherwise, that middle ground is a slippery slope downward.
And what are the potential long-term mental health impacts of feeling these things, this sense of languishing or emptiness and so on?
Like, mental health is on a continuum. So you've got that. I think a traffic stop probably is the best. Green is great. You know, yellow is kind of your danger zone or at risk. And red is you're really not doing well. Languishing would probably be the yellow, you know. And if you don't address that, the chances of you then going to the red zone is much higher. But also, you're not, you know, the meaning in life, you're kind of losing that. And it's not the way we are supposed to live.
And why is it important to give a name or to put a word to what we are feeling? How does defining our emotions help us deal with them?
Right. Emotions are, as I said, signals to what's important to us and what's going on. So for instance, anger tells us our rights have been violated or something, an injustice has been done. Sadness tells us there's a sense of loss. Fear tells us, you know, something is scary and threatening us. And so each one of these, you know, primary emotions tells us what do we need. So anger, it means that we have to assert ourselves and be empowered. Fear means, you know, we probably want to hide and get go away from the danger and sadness means that you want to be soothed and comforted. So when we figure out what's going on inside, we can figure out what we need to then feel better and get our psychological needs met.
Now, when it comes to getting assistance for mental health, right, there's still a perception that unless something is dire and someone mm-hmm. who it feels like they're in a dire situation, that you don't necessarily need to get that kind of help. Now, how can somebody who is in this state of languishing, what should they do? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I really understand that you may not want to seek a mental health professional at this point, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be seeking support. You know, for some people, actually, I do think everyone might, talking to a therapist is, at least for me, very enjoyable. When I talk to my therapist, someone in my life is listening very attentively to me and helping me figure out everything that I'm going through. And, you know, it's a safe space, someone wiser and more insightful being there with me. It's really helpful. But maybe not everyone wants to do that, and that's fine. But everybody needs a sense of connection. Everyone needs to, you know, feel like they're loved and to be able to have a sense of mastery and to be able to feel like themselves. So even if you don't want to see a mental health professional, that's fine. But it doesn't mean you can't talk to anyone. It doesn't mean that you can't do anything to help yourself be better.
And on that note then, could you give us some things that we can do to manage this experience of languishing?
Yeah. So there's this psychologist called Martin Seligman, and he came up with this acronym called PERMA. And it's this idea that happiness isn't a state of feeling. Happiness is a behavior. So we can do things to improve, to gain more happiness. And so PRMA, if you give me some time, I'll just briefly go through it. So P is like anything that gives you a sense of positive emotion. And it could be feelings of gratitude, you know, thinking about what went well during the day. And it doesn't have to be long lasting, but it adds up the more often we do it. So P, there's positive emotions. E, anything that gives you a sense of engagement, you get a sense of flow, you're fully involved, gets a sense of mastery, like you're doing. And it could be cooking, baking, running. R stands for relationships, a sense of connection, you know, because you have to feel loved, and loving others is an essential need for humans. M is for meaning, doing something with a sense of purpose and meaning. And it doesn't necessarily be a job. It could be even, for me, I get a sense of meaning doing Relate, you know, volunteering for Relate gives me a sense of meaning. And A is a sense of accomplishment. Right? And we have to redefine accomplishment, not just in jobs. But every day we can find something that maybe just learning something, a little course, you know, Coursera, if you complete a lesson, that could be a sense of accomplishment. So it's finding, doing something every day in these categories. And not saying, oh man, I'm not happy today, you know, like this doesn't work, but it's just adding it up and doing it for its own sake. And over time, you actually find, and that's, you know, I have that experience too, that you will be happier.
And when should we actually seek out professional help? And what are some of the signs to look out for?
It's often people find themselves going, you know, nothing I do is working. I'm just not feeling happy. I've tried a lot of things. Then that's a great time to seek professional help. But if you're not sure and you think you might, just seek it anyway, you know, because it's really hard for us, you know, you can't be your own doctor, but it's better to get it checked out sooner rather than later.
Sukling, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Chua Sukning, founder and clinical psychologist at Relate Malaysia, speaking to us about this word languishing and how it might be a great way to describe what we're feeling this year, but also in a larger sense, this idea of feeling stuck or feeling like you're stagnating, and what are some of the things we can do to deal with that? So we've been asking you what the one word you'd use to describe your the way you've been feeling lately is, and we want to know. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us what that one word that describes your feelings currently is. And we do have a couple of messages. We have Chia, who says, hopeless, too much negativity from the government. You know, Chia, I think a lot of people would agree with you there. I think overwhelmingly, just in conversations, in things that I see people posting about, there does seem to be a sense of a lack of hope. And that always makes me feel sad when I hear that. And even though I can identify with that sometimes, I do try not to fall into the trap of feeling hopeless too often, because feeling completely hopeless means that I then feel like there's no point in trying to do anything. So yes, even though things might seem really difficult, and I'm not at all saying that it's an easy thing to do, hopeless is a difficult place to be. And I do hope you find some way to perhaps find some hope somewhere. And then we have a message from Din, who says, languishing is a great word to describe this feeling, actually. Although the word itself sounds much more hopeless than I would like, that's probably how it is. I think the way that time passes these days and the relative sameness of the last 400 days or so means that it's hard to find the usual peaks and valleys that would have distinguished normal life. Din, I really couldn't agree more. That's exactly why when I read that article, that word languish stood out to me, because it's that lack of peaks and valleys, right? Every day blends into the next. You look back at something like 2 weeks or a month and you realize nothing much has happened. And I think that exactly is mirrored by that word. We have Hong Chia Long, who says despair. And yes, I understand that as well, Chia Long. I understand that it is, these are not the best words to hear, and I'm actually feeling a little bit down hearing them as well. But I do feel like one thing to keep in mind, and as we discussed earlier with Sukning, is knowing that we feel this, I think helps to a certain extent. I know I certainly felt a sense of relief when I heard this word languishing, because I felt like, oh, I finally understand why I'm feeling this way. I finally understand. And if they have a word for it, it must mean that I'm not alone in this. And I think that helps me, at least in a certain extent, to feel like there's nothing wrong with me for feeling this way. We want to know what word describes how you've been feeling. This is because there's been an article in the New York Times that uses the word languishing as a way to describe that feeling that we might be feeling this year. You know, that sense of stagnating, the sense of not being able to move forward. Let us know what your one word might be. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.